It's amazing how God works, amen? And sometimes when we think something's a mistake, in God's kingdom, he's just saying, no, that wasn't a mistake, that was my plan all along, you just didn't realize it. Amen? You ever had that happen to you before? It was funny because I can't remember where we were the other day, but Pastor Randy called and wanted to know if I would preach this morning here at the service, and I said, yeah, sure. And I happened to be walking through the Goodwill, and I love to go to the Goodwill, and it's one of my favorite places to go and hang out. I shouldn't say that because everybody will be there after service and all the good stuff will be gone. But I picked up this book, and wow, I'm getting a little echo or something here. I don't know. I picked up this book anyway, and as I picked up the book, I opened it up, and I turned to a particular page, a little small book, and I knew that I was going to be speaking, and I thought, wow, I think that's what the Lord wants, right there. And so I thought, well, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I thought, well, it's only 99 cents, and I think I already have a copy of this book. But for 99 cents, if this is what the Lord wants, then I'll buy this book for 99 cents. So I grabbed it, and I stuck it. I brought it home with me. And I was still unsure what the Lord wanted. And then when I woke up this morning, and I was doing all my studying in preparation at 2 o'clock in the morning this morning. That was a joke. And as I woke up this morning and I was studying and preparing this morning, it just began to all come into being what God wanted this morning for a message. And as I was sitting in the service, I thought, I just can't believe this, God. I just can't believe this. It's just unbelievable how that the Lord works. There's a verse of scripture that I have been thinking about a lot lately. It seems to be a verse of scripture that seems to be one of those key verses at this year in my life. And I'm not exactly sure 100% why it's come out to me. But it's in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And it says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, we can read that as a body of believers, and we can believe that as a body of believers. Amen? We can all look at that and say, yes, God has a plan and a future for us. What becomes difficult sometimes is when we take it and try to look at it individually. Because we have a tendency to look at that verse of scripture and say, oh yeah, Pastor Brian just read that, and God has a plan for Marilyn, and God has a plan for Elaine, and God has a plan for Jesse, but me, I'm not so sure that that is pinpointed directly at my life. But the Word of God is for each and every one of us. And so when you read the Word of God, when you hear a verse of Scripture, God is speaking at you specifically. He's speaking to you specifically. So you can't brush that verse of Scripture off this morning and say, oh, there is a plan and a future for so-and-so, or a sister so-and-so, or a brother so-and-so. God is saying, I have a plan and a future specifically for you. Do you know that when you were conceived into this world, not when you were born into the world, but when you were conceived into the world, that God had a plan and a purpose for your life? You were born for something in the kingdom of God. Amen? I believe this with all of my heart. For those of you who don't know who we are, I think most of you do. My name is Bryant Markey, and this is my wife, Holly. And we were the children's pastors here back in the late 90s. We just have hung around from then on. Every once in a while we pop in. You never know when. But at the time when we were here, when we first arrived here, I just felt in my spirit and I felt in my soul that God wanted to use this particular facility, this church body, as a lighthouse to Norwich, into the surrounding communities. That was the impression that I had in my spirit and in my mind, that God's plan and purpose for this particular body was to be an outreach center, a place of hope and healing for people all around to come and receive and be empowered by the Spirit of God so that they could go forth and become energized in the kingdom of God to help other people. Amen? And it's so funny because today, God just kind of reignited that vision in my spirit. He kind of reconfirmed that that's exactly where he wants his body of believers to go, his church to go, that he wants other people to come into the body of Christ. and that he has a plan and a purpose. The message I want to bring to you today is entitled Spirit-Led. Spirit-Led. Now, we can be led by many things in this life. Amen? Amen. In John chapter 3, verse 16, very, very basic passage of Scripture. Everybody here probably can quote it with me without even turning there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What's a stipulation to eternal life? Believing in Jesus. It's that simple. Believing in Christ. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for your sins, that's the key to heaven right there. In Mark chapter 12, if you turn there with me really quickly, Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, there's a very, very peculiar passage of Scripture there. And I've heard this Scripture quoted in a way that I feel was misquoted. And I want us to take a look at that today. It says in Mark 12 and verse 30, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, all your strength." Now, I've heard it said before that if a person loves the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, that they will read their Bible every single day. And if they don't, then they must not love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. Can I tell you this? If you happen to miss a day of reading your Bible, that doesn't mean that you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That just means that you missed a day of reading the Word of God. If you happen to miss a day that you haven't prayed, that doesn't mean that you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The verse that we just read before that said, the stipulation to go to heaven is to believe. I believe my kids love me. Just because they don't run up to me every day and hug me or kiss me or whatever they want to do to show their love to me doesn't mean that my belief changes that they love me. Just because you aren't running to God because you may have forgotten or you may have gotten busy and you haven't spent time, he realizes that we're human. And that sometimes in our busyness, we forget. But he knows in his heart that we still love him. Because we've chosen to serve him. Because we believe. Now you may say, well, Pastor Bryant, you're preaching against prayer and you're preaching against reading the Word of God. No, I'm not doing that at all. What I'm saying is that in the context of this verse, that there's freedom in Christ. That there's freedom in Christ. There are people who feel condemned continuously because they feel like that living a Christian life, that you got to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And they get bound up in legalism because they feel like they can't do all the steps to live up to being a Christian. When the Word of God says, believe. As you believe, you will have a desire to do this and this and this and this. But because we're human, there are times when we may miss this, or we may miss this. But that doesn't mean that we don't love God, and that does not mean that he does not love us, and that does not mean that we're on our way to hell. And so there is a freedom in knowing that just because I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and that I'm human, that all these things that a Christian should do will just fall into place naturally. And if I slip up and make a mistake occasionally, God understands. And as I ask forgiveness for those things, I continue to move on in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We can accomplish loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind through the Spirit of God. Do you know that the Holy Spirit of God can help you accomplish to do things in and through your life that you are incapable of accomplishing on your own? You may sit in a service and God may speak to you and say, you're going to do this. And you may say, you are crazy. I am never going to speak in tongues. I am never going to dance in the Spirit. I am never going to prophesy. I am never going to bring forth a message. Not in a million years. God, you know me. You know how shy I am. I'm not going to speak forth. And in 2 weeks, all of a sudden, you're talking this language that you don't understand. That's the Spirit of God. You see, when you yield yourself to the Spirit of God, when you are Spirit-led, the Spirit of God will flow through you and allow you to do things in the kingdom of God and in the spirit realm that you would not normally be able to do within and of yourself. Amen? And that's what I believe that he wants to do in his church. He wants people to be led by the Spirit of God so that people are touched not by our hands, but by the supernatural hands of a living God who flows through us. So as we allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, and we allow ourselves to be God's hand extended, then the power of God is then transposed to other people. Do you realize that if you go to pray for somebody who is sick, they may not have the faith to believe that they can be healed, but your faith and your belief for them can help them to be healed. You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They may be people that have terminal diseases that say, there is no way on God's green earth that I can be well again. But because of your belief, because of your spirit being plugged into the Spirit of God, you can have the power of God flow through your life, and you can lay hands on people, and they can be healed. Jesus said that the works that he did when he was here on earth, even greater works that we would do. Amen? Even greater works. And think of the things that he did. Does that make us better than Jesus? No, that doesn't make us better than Jesus. Because you know what? The works that he did and the works that we do are all for the glory of God. They're all for the kingdom of God. They're not for my glory. They're not for my honor. They're not for me to stand up and say, whoa, look how great I am. I touched three people and they got healed. Because I wasn't the one that was healing them anyway. And if my faith is strong enough to touch somebody and for them to be healed through the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through me, praise to God. Amen? Never take it upon yourself and say, well, aren't I great? I'm going to start going out on the field. Because you know what? That's not a spirit of humility and humbleness. And the Spirit of God can be shut off just like that from flowing through you if you take the glory for yourself. Amen? But I believe that as people are plugged in to the Spirit of God, to the Holy Spirit of God, that he will enable them to love him with all of their heart, all of their soul, and all of their mind. All of your heart, your soul, and your mind. But we must be led by the Spirit of God in order to do that. I want to ask you a question. Some people have a difficult time when it comes to serving the Lord. And they waffle back and forth. They're in church and they're out of church. And they're here for 2 weeks and then they're gone for a week. And then they're here for a week and then they're gone for 3 months. And then they're back for a week. And they waffle back and forth. And I'm not so sure that it's not because they don't have a desire to be in the house of God. But sometimes I think there's a spiritual implication to it. And they allow Satan to play upon their imagination and their mind, and they begin to think, you know what, I just can't be there every single Sunday, so people there are going to think I'm not a Christian. Can I tell you that in today's society that sometimes people have to work on Sundays now? It's an unfortunate thing, but it's true. That's not an excuse to miss church. It's just a reality. And just because somebody isn't here every Sunday, or just because you can't make it every Sunday, don't let Satan condemn you from being used in the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because in man's eyes, when I grew up, if you were a Christian, you went to church every single Sunday because you were hungry for the Word of God. And I believe that that's still the way it should be. Every opportunity that you have, then you need to be into the house of God, receiving from God and the Word of God. But if you happen to miss a couple of Sundays because you're sick or you can't make it, don't allow Satan to defeat you mentally and say, ah, you're not a good Christian. If you were a good Christian, you would have somehow made a way to get there instead of just copping out. No, allow the Spirit to touch your mind and say, you know what? This is the reason why I couldn't make it. I'm going to be Spirit-led. I'm going to allow the Spirit to encourage me and to uplift me. I'm not going to listen to the enemy of my soul. But what is the intention of your heart? That's what God looks at. Man may never understand your intention. People in this church, they may come and they may say, you know what? I don't understand their intentions. And it's really not up to us to try to judge other people's intentions. It's up to the individual person. Because God looks at the heart when man looks on the outward appearance. Amen? And so when God sees your heart, what does he see? Is your intentions to be spirit-led? Is your intentions to serve God with all of your heart, soul, and mind? Or are you just playing the game, putting on your church face on Sunday morning? You see, it's the people who are sold out for God, whose intentions are pure and righteous, that God wants to pour his spirit through and use to touch other people. Are you trying to listen in to the Spirit? Turn in Matthew 26 and 41 with me, if you would, very quickly. In Matthew 26, verse 41, it says this: keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. You can come to a service like this and you can leave all charged up and enthusiastic and saying, yeah, I want the Spirit of God to flow through me. I want to be one of those people who God uses for the kingdom of God. I want to be one of those people who can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You can become enthusiastic and charged up. Your spirit can be willing when you leave here. But when you get back out into the world, guess what? You face all kinds of stuff that can affect you. And so our spirit can be willing, but the body can be weak. The body can be weak. Charlie, I need your help, buddy. Come here. I'm making a move. Yes. In this church, until you're dead, you move. Yes. You know, there's some churches you go to, Charlie, and you can't tell the dead from the living. But today we're going to be able to tell the dead from the living. Amen? Some of you got that and some of you didn't. That's all right. Charlie, you just stand right here, all right? You are going to be the soul, all right? Okay, you're going to be soul. Yeah, I like how you did the shoulder thing there. You are going to be the soul, Charlie, all right? Do you know that we're all made up of three parts? We're all made up of three parts: a soul, a spirit, and a body. All of us, every single person here. How you doing, soul? Soul. All right. Joe, come on up here, buddy. We'll have you go over here. You can be his body, all right? Yeah, all right. Pastor Randy, come on up here. Yes. Pastor, isn't serving the Lord wonderful? Look what happens when you come to church. Yeah. Say, yeah. He'll be on the beach tomorrow walking with a new T-shirt on. Okay, come on over here. And this will be your, this, yeah, you're going to be his spirit, okay? All right, so you're the spirit guy. I feel like I'm doing the Christmas Carol with the three. Remember, anyway, never mind. All three of us are made up of these guys: soul, spirit, and body. Soul, spirit, and body. Now listen, our spirit man over here. No, no, you're the soul, Charlie. You can give the spirit some thumbs up if you want to, yes, but you're still the soul, okay? The spirit man over here, all right? Over here, the spirit man. Yes, that's you. Our spirit is our affection, our conscience, our reason, our memory, and our imagination. Did you hear that? Our spirit man is comprised of those things. Our affection, our conscience, our reason, our memory, and our imagination. Have you ever heard of, in the Bible, where it says to cast down every imagination under the submission of the Lord? It says that in the Word of God, to cast down every evil imagination, okay? But our spirit man is comprised of those five things. Have you ever heard, oh, their conscience has been seared, or how somebody's conscience can be seared? That's a very dangerous place to be. Because you want the spirit to be able to move on your conscience. Because as the spirit speaks to you and you listen to your conscience, I feel like Jiminy Cricket. As you listen to your conscience, okay, don't let just your conscience be your guide, but the spirit can move through your conscience to let you know if you're headed in the right direction or the wrong direction. When you listen to the spirit of God, when you're spirit led, he can say, take a step to the left. Take a step to the right. In good conscience, I shouldn't do that. We all have a conscience. It's who we let have control of that conscience that makes a difference. And so our spirit man is affected by the choices that we make. Over here on this side, our body. Now, this is one of our favorite parts. Because if you listen to me, everything over here on this side here, on the spirit side, that's stuff you really can't see. I can't see Tony's imagination. I know she has one, but I can't see it. All right? I can't see Sister Lizette's memory. She still has one. You notice I said still has one. Yes. She still has one, but I can't see it. Things we can't see. Over here on the body side, five things. Sight. Taste. Hearing. Smell. And touch. Our senses. All five senses affect us. And in the world that we live in, it's much easier for the body side to be affected in the natural realm than it is for the spirit man to be affected. Because on the spirit side, nobody can see that side with their visible eyes. And we have to, the intentions of our heart, we have to willingly submit ourselves to God so that he can have control of all of those things on our spirit side. Our conscience, our memory, and so forth. On the body side, oh, we're full of a world of stuff that can affect us. Our sight, yeah. Yeah. Men, have you ever taken your ladies to the mall? They're affected by sight. They go in for a pair of shoes. Since when did 10 pairs of shoes become a pair of shoes? I have no idea. But they're affected by sight. And so are guys. So are guys. You know, when we're picking out a wife, we're looking for ooh la la, right? Amen? Well, yeah, you better say amen. Our sight, our smell. How many of you have ever gone someplace and you smell something and it brings back a memory? My grandmother's house used to have a certain smell to it. And I've been in it since her and my grandfather are no longer there, and it's not there anymore. I don't know what the smell was, but like my grandfather used to kill beaver and my grandmother would cook certain stuff, and so I don't know if it was like dead meat beaver and home cooked meals or what, but anyways, it had a certain smell to it. But you know what? There are a lot of memories associated with that smell. If I ever smell that smell again, memories would be coming flashing back to me. So our smell can affect us. Do you know that there are some people, believe it or not, they're involved in drugs? Pot has a certain smell to it. Not because I've ever smelt pot. I've burned a pot before, but I've never smelt pot. But I was in a store the other day, a while ago, and I smelt something, and I thought, oh, that person's been smoking pot. How many can recognize the smell of pot? Yeah. It's all right. I know we're all saved here anyway, so if you can recognize it, doesn't mean you're not saved. Come on. But it has a certain smell to it. So do you realize that if you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and smoking, let's say, pot was something that you love to do, that your body smells that smell, and you're like, oh, and you have a desire to be led to go back to do that again. And the same thing with all the other senses, our hearing, the things that we listen to. Pastor Holly and I were just at a camp, and we had a young kid that had a question. She said she was seeing dark figures, and she wanted to, do you know that the things that you watch on television, the movies that you watch, the things that you expose yourself to, can affect your spirit man? If you're not careful with what you watch, if you're watching Friday the 13th and the 14th and the 16th, and then you're watching somebody cut up somebody with chainsaws and all this other foolishness, it's affecting your spirit man. You may say, well, that's for teenagers, Pastor. No, it's for adults. Because there are a lot of adults that watch a lot of garbage. And the soap operas, when Billy Bob and Billy Joe are jumping around from bed to bed every other day of the week, those can affect you too. Can I tell you this? The people in the soap operas, your life will never be like that, because that's not real life. I mean, my wife's as beautiful as those girls on there every single day of the week, but the rest of it is not real life. You can watch all the soap operas you want and let it affect you, because you begin to transpose and say, oh, well, they have that kind of a car. And do you ever notice that how the any of them are ever dirty or sweaty, or they're always like in business suits and dresses, and, you know, they're walking around like, and they got all kinds of money, and, you know, their houses are like really elaborate, you know, like everybody lives that way. That's not true. It's a fantasy world. And we can allow ourselves to be sucked in. And your spirit man can be affected because of that. Because of our sight. Because of what we listen to. Even our touch can get us in trouble. And so, let's see. Why don't you link arms with Charlie on that side there, body? Go ahead. And spirit, you link arms on this side over here. Jeremiah, come on down here, man. I need you to give me a hand. And Kara, you can come down. And Rachel, you can come down. Yes, Kara's in Rhode Island. Yes. Tony, come down and give me a hand. If you could, please. Yeah. Let's see. Larry, come on down. Give me a hand. This morning we're talking about being led by the Spirit. Now, let me tell you something, guys. You adults can go over there and hang out with the teenagers, okay? I know you want to feel that young, so go ahead and hang out over there with them. Yes. Let me tell you, they're young adults. Oh, yes. Can you believe that we had these guys in kids' church when we were here? They're getting older and we're not. That's, I don't know how that happens, but anyway. Do you realize that if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, the dog you feed is the dog that will get the biggest? You may say, well, that's the most carnal thing I ever heard. You just compared the spirit to the dog. Okay, let me show you what I mean. All those things I just talked about, the sight, the hearing, the smell, the sound, the taste, all those things. You know, when you're tipping the brewskis and you're drunk out of your mind, when you're involved in all those things that causes your spiritual man to be condemned and defiled. All those things, are they pulling you in the right direction or the wrong direction? The wrong direction. Guys, I want you to all link arms together and link arms with him. Go ahead. All right, Charlie, you're the soul, man. You're the soul. And you know what? You are going to stand strong in the Lord. You are not going to move at all. Because you want to be spirit-led. And you want God to flow through you. Amen? Are you sold out? All right, are you ready to go out into this world? Are you ready to lay hands on the sick for them to recover? Are you ready to be used by the Spirit of God? If you're to bring forth prophecy, are you willing to do that? Amen. You are ready, Charlie. But, Charlie, you are allowing all of these things over here on the body side to influence you. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. Now, body, Charlie, don't you dare move. You've made a decision. It's up here. You've made a decision in your heart and in your mind. You're going to be spirit-led. God's going to use you. Body, go ahead. Go ahead, body, pull. Come on, pull. All right, stop, body. Come back to the middle. Do you see what happens when we give in to the things of the world? Our body is pulled in a direction that our intentions never meant to go. Did you hear what I said? We're pulled in a direction our intentions never wanted us to go. The intentions of our heart when we're here on Sunday morning may be Norwich is going to be reached for Jesus Christ. We are going to see miracles, and I believe that's true. We are going to see miracles. Great things are going to happen. The Spirit of God is going to flow. The Holy Spirit is going to come down. People are going to be filled, healed, delivered. It's going to be a lighthouse for the community. But then as believers, we get out in the community. And our body is being pulled. And so our soul is being swayed. Because we're not standing strong in Jesus Christ and being spirit-led. Did you hear what I said? Guys, I want all of you to go on the other side now, please. Not you, body. You stay there. No, you're condemned to your spot. Okay. How many feel that way? How many feel like sometimes, Lord, you put me on this earth to condemn me to this life? God never put you on the earth to condemn you to life. God wants to give you life, and not only life, but more abundantly. He wants to give you a life of freedom and of hope. Not to have you just, oh gosh, I hope someday I'll hurry up and die so I can go to heaven. This is so rough living here on this earth. No, God wants us to be free in Christ. God wants us to have joy and hope. And God wants that to be a calling card to people out there. They should look at our lives and say, man, this world sure does stink, but they sure are having a great time in the stink pile. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's say you feed your, go ahead, link arms again and grab a hold of, and body, you can go ahead, because you know what? You are not going to give in, okay? Because you want what you want, all right? How many want what you want sometimes? And you're just not going to give in. You know, God can come down and smack you with a sledgehammer, and you're like, nope, I want what I want. Forget it, God. How loving is he? Because even when we get to that point, he says, you know what? I know you're being an idiot, and I'm going to let you have it your way, but you're going to learn eventually. And he might not use the word idiot. That's mocky paraphrase. But it's basically what he's saying. Go ahead, Spirit. Stop pulling that way. Now, do you see what happens? Come back to the middle, guys. Do you see what happens? When we allow our spirit man to be fed, when we allow our ear to be turned to the voice of heaven, then our body is put under submission of the spirit. And the direction of our soul is determined because of our decision. Did you hear what I said? The very first verse, John 3:16, whoever believes, what is it? It's a decision. What's a decision? It's an intention. The intention of my heart. And I'm not talking about this blood pumping muscle down here. I'm talking about my mind. In my mind, have I determined that my soul is anchored in Christ, and I am not going to allow the things of this world and my fleshly body to pull me away from the plan and the purpose of God. But I am going to be spirit-led so that my body is pulled into submission of God, so that I can fulfill the things that God has for me as an individual, thus fulfilling the things that God has for us as a body. No one person can do the work of the entire church all on their own. But the more people you have pulling in the spirit realm and are spirit led, guess what happens? The greater the light becomes. Now, I'm going to go in an area right now, very dangerous area to some people possibly, but I want you to listen to me because there's a point to it. There are two huge casinos near here. I don't know if you knew that or not. Do you know that when we lived here, when we had to go to the laundromat, there were people that I would hear talk about the environment there. Yesterday I happened to be in a place, and there was a man who had to go pick up his girlfriend or wife or somebody because she worked at one of them. And he said he hated to go there to get her because he had to wait for 5 or 6 hours. So what he would do was get $5 worth of pennies, and he would play the penny slots, which I didn't realize. I guess you can become a millionaire by playing the penny slots now. But that's the way he would do his time. The guy he was talking to said, you know what? They have great music there. They have great artists come in to the casinos all the time. They have great music there. But even though the music's so great there, I just can't bring myself to go anymore. And I'm thinking, why can't he bring himself to go there anymore? Like, I was really, really curious, you know? So I was eavesdropping. Don't condemn me. I was just eavesdropping. And I'm thinking, what is he going to say? Why does it? I mean, because I've seen the billboards. You've seen the billboards. You know, like, they have these megastars come in. Like, and they're going to just fill the auditorium. And they probably do. I don't know. I'm not going to say I know, because if I did, then it would say that I was. No, never mind. Anyway, I've never been in either one of them. But let me tell you this. He said, I don't want to go because when I leave there, I feel so depressed. I feel so downhearted. Now, you may say, well, Pastor Brian, what in the world does that have to do with being spirit-led? If we are the light of Jesus Christ, Amen? If God's light shines through us, and the word of God in the book of Matthew says that a city set on a hill cannot be hid. I don't know if you've ever seen New York City before. They're not hiding that thing anytime soon at nighttime. I mean, there's so much light in that city, all right? You place that New York City up on a hill, and there's no way you can that you would hide that place. But a city that is on a hill cannot be hid. As believers in Christ, if the light of Jesus is shining through us, and this is a city, the church body is a city, spiritually speaking, where does light shine the brightest? In the darkness. What better place to be a light than around some places where people feel like they leave depressed? Because I can tell you something, no matter how good the concerts are, no matter how much money people think they're going to win, it's all an empty hole. And they're looking. And so God is looking for a body of believers who are spirit-led, whose souls are determined to unite together, be led in the same direction, to be that city on the hill. And he wants to pour his spirit out through those same believers, that you will be his hands extended, that when you lay your hands on people, they will be healed, that when you go to somebody and give them a word of encouragement, they will know that it's from the Lord, that their lives will be edified, not because of the things that their body has received, but because of the things their spirit has received. Did you hear what I said? We live in a world where it's all about who has the biggest flat screen TV, who has the biggest house and the nicest car and the best clothes. God isn't so concerned about this as he is our spirit man and where it's being led. Is our spirit man being led, or are we allowing our fleshly man to be led? In closing, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, you guys just stay right here, please. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Turn there with me really quickly. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Now, that can be a little confounding to Christians, because in our soul, we're like, hey, we've made a decision. We're determined. But can I tell you this? There are times in our lives when we have desert experiences. There are times in our lives when God allows things to happen to us for a plan and for a purpose. You may say, I'm spirit-led. Everything should be lollipops and gumdrops. But can I tell you this? Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. And if Jesus, the Son of God, was led there to be tempted by the devil, then who are we to think that we're not going to be? You see, Jesus went, he was tempted, led by the Spirit, but he overcame it. Think about Job. Job allowed God to use his life. And God allowed Satan to get to him. And so because of all the things that Job went through, he could have turned his back on God. But he didn't. Because God said, see my servant Job? He stood faithful. He stood faithful. So when you're led by the Spirit, sometimes you have to continue to walk in faith. You may see a miracle this week, and somebody else may not see a miracle for a month, but it can happen as long as we're led by the Spirit. Think of it this way. If you've been led into the wilderness or you're going through a difficult time, how awesome is it? What a privilege is it that God thinks you're strong enough as a Christian to be tempted by the devil and to know that your soul is strong enough that your spirit man is going to pull you in the right direction and you're not going to give in to your fleshly man like Job could have done. Job could have given in And instead of allowing his spirit man to pull him to the right side, he could have went the other way. But what a privilege when you're going through a storm. Because you know why? God knows that there is no temptation that has come to you that other people haven't experienced, and he will give you a way to escape that temptation and to overcome that trial and that circumstance. You guys can have a seat. Thank you very much. Right now they're separating. Sometimes people will preach and say, oh, well, if you're a Christian, you know, prosperity preaching, everything's going to go, you know, you're going to have $1 million and a new house. And that's not necessarily true. We live in the real world. But our soul, where will our soul spend eternity? It's a decision that we make, a determination that we make. In the book of Romans, chapter 8. If you'll turn there quickly with me. As you turn there, I want to give you Galatians 5 and 17. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us the desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Galatians 5 and 17. Romans 8 and 14 says this. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So the question this morning is, do you allow your fleshly man to control you more, or do you allow your spirit man to control you more? There are times when all of us allow our fleshly man to pull us. There are situations and circumstances and life situations that we go through that we've never faced before that can cause our fleshly man to be pulled this way. People can go through things that they've never had to go through before in life. They've never had to make decisions and choices about. As Christians, we're there to support them, not to judge whether they're making the right call or not. Because if you were in that situation, you might not make the right decisions either. Over here on this side, the spirit man. Are we moving that way? Are we allowing the Spirit of God to flow through us? Because the more that we allow the Spirit of God to flow through us, the more Christ-like our fleshly man becomes. Amen? The more that the Spirit pulls us towards Christ, the stronger our fleshly man becomes. The decision is ours. You can leave here today. You can have heard the message and prophecy that was brought here. You can believe that miracles are going to come. You can believe that a miracle is going to happen for you. You can believe that the Norwich Assembly of God is going to be a light on a hill. You can believe that people are going to come in, they're going to be saved, they're going to be healed, they're going to be delivered. You can be sold on it. In your mind and in your heart, you can say, yeah. But there is an enemy, a principality of the air, who is looking to hit you up beside the head with a 2x4 and knock every single word of encouragement that you've heard this morning right out of your head when you walk out these doors. Are you determined? Are you determined in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, to the best of your ability, you're going to be spirit-led and allow the Spirit to flow through you? If you're willing, praise the Lord, if you're willing to open yourself up to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, use my life. Jeremiah, if you could just come back. Yes, if you could just come back. If you're willing, I just play something softly to allow the Spirit of God to flow through your life. In any way, now listen to me, I don't want you to stand if you don't mean this. You're standing because you mean this between you and God. But if you're willing to allow the Spirit of God to flow through your life in any way that He wants to, and use you any way He wants to, whether it be in the gift of healing, whether it be in the gift of prophecy, whatever that gift may be, however He may flow, if you're willing to say, you know what? I believe the message this morning that we're going to see miracles. I believe that the Norwich Assembly of God can be a light on a hill. I believe that God wants me to be a part of that. But I want my life to be so charged and led by the Holy Spirit of God that as people begin to turn to this city, they encounter Him. Thus their lives are changed. We could have the biggest and most beautiful church in town, the most lavish facilities that you ever saw. There could be tons and tons of staff paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars. There are churches like that across the nation. But without the Spirit of God flowing through each one of us the way that He wants to, it wouldn't make any difference. Be no different than Trump Tower in New York City, just a building with people in it. The thing that makes the church is the Spirit of God. And the only way the Spirit can flow is through people who are willing to allow it to flow through them. We can be a bucket, or we can be a funnel. When the Spirit of God falls upon you, do you catch it in a bucket and carry it around? Or do you allow yourself to be a funnel so that it pours through you onto other people? If you are willing to say, Pastor Brian, I want the Spirit of God to flow through my life like never before. I want the workings of the Spirit of God to flow through my church like never before. Listen to me. You're making a commitment. You may go home today and you may spend 3 hours speaking in tongues in your living room. I don't know. But all I can tell you is that the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. If you're willing, would you stand to your feet? Praise you, Lord. I don't want you to stand because everybody else is doing it. I don't want you to stand because everybody else is doing it. Sister Raylene, please don't leave. I'm sorry. Oh, can you come here just a second, please? Jimmy, can you ask her to come back in for a moment? I just wanted to pray with her for a second. She is going out to greet you all. But I just wanted to pray with her for a second before she did that. Not trying to embarrass her at all. Listen to me. Please, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. We weren't even supposed to be here today. We were supposed to be in New Jersey. My wife, in the 13 years of ministry, by mistake, double booked us for the same week. So we had a week free. Some people maybe would say it was a mistake. I believe it was God ordained. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. The Norwich Assembly of God is changing. Not because I said it, but because God did. You don't have a church where there are people who want the Spirit to flow through them, who want miracles and healings to take place, and prophecies, and not have it be a light, and have people be drawn to it. People will hear. People will want. People will come. Because you see, the Spirit of God is something you cannot buy at any local store or receive at any local amusement. And it comes through people whose hearts are humbled and tender before God.